Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 53. I'm your host, Ben Heck.
And Dorn.
No, I've changed my name now.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I'm just Jenny from the block.
And I'm Jason Jones.
Right. Hey, we just ate one of those Panorama's pizzas before the podcast. It was pretty good.
Yes. Thank you, Pizza Hut. Although it was kind of expensive, it seemed like, for what it was, but...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really as big as the commercial where there's like those guys who are like, there's no way we're going to finish this. And like three of us just finished it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I'm pretty full, but it was done.
Yeah. Wasn't difficult.
Okay. Well, in today's Pulse Pounding episode, we are going to discuss movie remakes.
Yes, we are.
And then we're also going to discuss video games that were ahead of their time. I'm sure we'll think of some as we go.
Nice, because I'm drawing a blank for the most part. That's all right, though. Shoot from the hip.
Yes. Okay, well...
I have no reservations about this podcast.
And about shooting the driver. Oh, maybe you should tell everyone what you're talking about.
Yes, well, in The Dark Knight... And, well, if you haven't seen it yet, then, you know, shut this off now, but I don't know how you couldn't have, considering how much money it made. There's the part where Harvey Dent, after he's become Two-Face, and he's, like, cruising down the road in the back seat of this car, and he turns to the guy, and, I don't know, he's going to kill the guy or whatever, but he shoots the driver, even though the car's going, you know, like 60 miles an hour down the road. Apparently, Two-Face has become indestructible. But, so Aaron Eckhart's the guy who plays Two-Face, and he was in a movie called No Reservations, and then he was also in Thank You for Smoking, so whenever we see that sequence, we're always like, I have no reservations about shooting the driver. Thank you for smoking! You probably had to be there, but that's how it goes, so that's what that's all about.
Yeah, that scene was a little confusing because,
Apparently he has absolutely no regard for his own life now, which might be true, I don't know.
Well, it's because he's indestructible.
I guess.
Okay,
he's
well,
like Bruce Willis. He's unbreakable.
See, now of all these dumb sequels they're making, why don't they make that? I mean,
Unbreakable 2?
Yeah, Unbreakabler.
That would be awesome.
Because M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong is certainly in a slump.
Yeah. I would love to see him go back to that well, because that's one of my favorite movies ever, so...
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome, and it was set up really nice to, you know, have sequels. And
Hollywood doesn't give us sequels we want or need. They give us ones they think we want.
Yes. Like The Sixth Element would be another one that we would want, but we'll never get. So.
Or Evil Dead 4. It'll probably never happen.
Yeah. I did see that they're not going to make Jurassic Park 4 now, though.
Oh.
So... There's something.
Robo-dinosaur warriors or whatever it was.
Well, they said the idea died with Michael Crichton.
Speaking of Michael Crichton, I know we're not really to that yet, but Westworld is a movie I think they've talked about remaking that could stand to be remade.
Yeah, Arnold was going to be in it at one time, wasn't he?
Sure.
I think is like the Yul Brynner character.
Hmm.
Seems like I remember
so Arnold
that.
Was going to be a killer robot.
Yeah, hard to believe, huh? I don't know how they, you know, came up with that idea.
Okay, what's new in gaming news? Anything?
I don't think so. Well, there's probably something, but I don't know what.
Yeah. What games have we been playing?
I haven't been playing much of anything. I guess I played, like, the first little bit of that Quantum of Solace game.
How was that?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. It's perfectly enjoyable first-person shooter, I guess, so. I had more fun playing that so far than I did playing Call of Duty 4, so.
Oh, man, the hate for Call of Duty 4.
I don't know. That game was just not that cool. But I'm not multiplayer man, so there you have it. But other than that, haven't really played much of anything, I don't think.
And I played through Gears of War. I finished that last weekend.
Yes.
Two. I liked it better than the first one. I mean, it had more like big like set pieces, so to speak. Yeah. You know, giant. It was a lot like God of War with guns, really.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with that. Just like there's nothing wrong with Oblivion with guns.
Yes.
But, yeah, I liked it quite a bit because they had, like, that narrative drive, you know, where he was looking for his wife or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, I wonder, you know, if she's going to be there or whatever. And,
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. did that game have a betrayal scene? I don't think it did.
No, I don't think so.
And Horde mode is fun.
They don't really have betrayals in Gears of War, it doesn't seem like, so... At least they don't subscribe to that convention like everybody else does.
Yeah, Marcus Fenix gets betrayed, and he's like, not nice. But I loved how, yeah, I mean, you know, there was in Oblivion, obviously, all the beggars would say, thank you, kind sir. And it was annoying at first, but then it became, like, endearing. Then in Fallout, you find, like, this guy, and he's like, oh, I need clean, purified water, but I can't give you any money. And if you give it to him, he's just like, wow, thank you. You're so nice. And I'm like, come on. He should say, thank you, Kaiser. That would be great. So anyway, you know, in the first Gears of War, when he picks up ammo, he's like, nice. So there's certain parts in this game where he's just like, nice. He's just like way over the top.
Yeah, he doesn't say it nearly as often in this one, but
he says it a lot in co-op. They say a lot of shit. Sorry, in Horde mode or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But I thought that was nice.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, a new Xbox experience. Yeah, that we covered that in our last podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Now there are probably other things that happened, but it seems like I haven't really read a lot about it. But it seems like Guitar Hero World Tour is kind of underperforming from stuff that I've seen about.
I read
sales.
A report yesterday that apparently Rock Band 2 is underperforming as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. Well, maybe we're starting to hit that saturation point that we've been talking about for a while.
The plastic games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've been to Best Buy lately?
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. There's like just piles of like Rock Band and Guitar Hero everywhere. Like, well, I was there tonight and there was a pile of Rock Band 2s like pretty much right by the door when you come in.
Yeah, I think, you know, at some point they'll be able to make the Best Buys out of the plastic guitar games and then sell everything else inside. Well, it was when I was at the Games for Health conference. I was talking to the organizer, Ben Sawyer, and he'd done consulting or something in the game industry. I can't remember. But anyway, we were talking about Rock Band, and he's like, well, you know what'll happen is, you know, their good sales will be offset by whatever they don't sell, they'll have to take a charge for. And,
yeah.
You know, you see, like, at Best Buy, you know, they're, like, the PS2 kit of Rock Band is like $100 or something. And
yeah, like the Wii one's like $90, I think. So it's like, Yeah, exactly.
For the whole kit.
Mm-hmm.
Or like when you had Red Octane, they sent me all those guitars for that project. You know, they're probably like, well, here's, you know, however many less guitars we have to get rid of. We'll just send them to this guy in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I think we should have a party once those are finally all gone. God. Any excuse.
Literally.
Oh, we're thinking about doing that karaoke party this Saturday if you're around.
I won't be here.
Oh, no. Well,
so I will miss out on the shenanigans, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're going to West Bend or something.
Yeah.
Well, I'll videotape it with my cell phone. I guess that would be memory tape it.
Wonderful.
If milkshakes happen. Shit, I forgot what I was talking about. Plastic guitar games. Well, I mean, Guitar Hero World Tour is something in Rock Band 2, hasn't it? Or
I think it has, but it's on more platforms, too. But it seems like, from what I've been reading, is the sales of it really aren't very good. Like, they're nothing like what Guitar Hero 3 did and stuff like that. So, it's, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
maybe we're finally, you know, reaching that point where people are like, Jesus Christ, you know, these games come out, like, every 6 months to a year, and...
Yes, someone made
fed
a,
up with it. So
someone made a comment on the the Rock Band 2 story that you know, they made all the DLC downloadable for the first game, which a lot of people bought. So what's the point of getting the second game? And I mean, I think it's worth it just for, you know, Hungry Like the Wolf.
Yeah, and there's certain other things they did to it, but yeah, I mean, I was kind of annoyed when they came out with Rock Band 2 so quickly. I mean, like,
yeah, it was
less
like, what,
than
like
a year.
10 months.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and they're all about, oh, we're making this game as a platform, and it's like, well, a platform isn't something that has a new version coming out.
Well, they had to preempt World Tour, obviously.
Yeah, but...
Well, World Tour, I mean, you know, people talk about the peripherals being good, but from what I played of the game, I was not impressed. I mean, it actually seemed less polished than Guitar Hero 3, even, if that's possible.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, like even like in the menus, when that little flame is lamely highlighting whatever thing you're selecting on, and there's like glitches, and like the flame is like half behind a polygon on the screen, like really obvious stuff that just sticks out.
Well, and the menus are just so garish in that game. It's like, I don't know. When you look at the Guitar Hero games, then you go and look at Rock Band, it definitely gives you an enhanced appreciation for how nice and clean, like, Harmonix makes their menus, and it's, you know, pretty minimalist. You know, they give you what you need, and that's it.
Yeah, in Guitar Hero 4, like, every menu icon is supposed to look like blue jeans or something. Is that the impression I got from it?
I don't know about that, but...
It's got textures on it. It kind of looks like blue jean patches.
I don't know. But, I don't know, it's just, like...
So you think maybe the end is coming for the plastic guitar games?
I don't know if the end's coming, but hopefully... Hopefully some of this stuff will start to, you know, not sell well, and it'll make them, like, pull back on how much of the crap they're bringing out. You know,
well,
it's like, do people really need to buy a new guitar every year? Do they need to buy a new drum kit every year? Do they need to have, you know, like for the DS, they had a Guitar Hero come out, like, 4 or 5 months ago, and there's a new one that either just came out or is coming out.
Oh, yeah, decades.
You know, it's like, for Christ's
sake. And then they won, like, twice as many Guitar Hero SKUs in 2009 on top of it.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of off topic, but, well, I guess The Dark Knight came out on disc. Is it today? Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when Batman and Robin was being made, Warner Brothers was like, they decided they were going to have a permanent Batman stage, and they were getting all set, and they, you know, they thought Batman and Robin was going to be a big hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were making all their future plans around it, but then, of course, it wasn't, and I don't know, the rug can get pulled out pretty quickly.
Yeah, it can. People are pretty fickle. I mean, look at the auto industry.
Oh, goddamn it.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, look at it. Everybody just stopped buying cars all of a sudden. It doesn't matter if they're small or big. People just stop buying cars and look at the effects it's having on the entire industry, you know?
Yeah.
It's the same sort of thing.
Well, I think, you know, if they would just, you know, standard... I guess they have standardized the controllers, but then you've got all these third-party guitars laying around, and...
Yeah.
I mean, I like playing Rock Band, too, but... I mean, I know I don't like it nearly as much as you, but, I mean, it's fun, but...
Yeah.
I just think, yeah, I mean, there's been so much crap over there. Rubik's Cubes, Pogs, Oat Brand, Pokemon, everything comes and goes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the problem I could see with the Wii is... They sell them all, but once the casual users, well, they don't buy that many games anyway. They just buy the thing and it sits there because it comes with Wii Sports. But, you know, once they move on to the next thing, that whole casual market's going to be like...
Yeah. And then Nintendo will be, you know, gasping for air at that point. But
it'll be very similar to, like, GM and Ford. Oh, well, we can just make SUVs forever.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. People don't want them anymore, but that's all our factories are set up to do. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
You know?
Same sort of thing, so...
Yep. All right, well, let's... do you want to start with the game innovation, or...
Sure.
Okay. Well, actually, it was last week, and... or whenever that was, Thanksgiving, and... I went over to my friend Mike's, and we were playing Perfect Dark with, like, you know, our friends and stuff. And we hooked it up, and the controllers were all in ruinous shape, but... And Mike is one of those, well, you know Mike. He's like just hardcore anti-console now.
Yeah.
You know that.
Oh,
even
though
he got Call of Duty 5 and it won't run on his PC that runs Call of Duty 4.
Nice.
If he had the Xbox version, it would run.
Yep.
So now he's going to have to get a new video card, which probably costs more than an Xbox.
Yep. 1 year later.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. I mean, I like PC gaming too, but that's definitely a negative. Anyway... Even he, like, was having fun, and we were playing Perfect Dark. I mean, I realized, you know, it came from spring of 2000. You know, it's over 8 years old. But it was just so cool. Like, all four players, you could sit there and you could configure the... Everyone could configure the game settings independently of each other. There's a whole bunch of game settings, and everyone could open their own little window and, like, adjust different parts of the game settings. All at the same time. And it had bots...
Yeah,
and it had
bots and
co-op
in the campaign and stuff. Yeah, that's what I remember about it a lot, is the co-op. That was pretty huge. That was a big thing.
That was a pretty... For that time, that was pretty ahead of its time.
Yeah. yeah, a lot of things that are just kind of commonplace now. So
co-op wasn't really commonplace in some, like the Call of Duty, as you always like to mention, didn't have until part
the
five, right?
Just came out. Yeah, 8 years later.
Right. So I mean, you know, it's, you can't always take those things for granted.
Yeah.
Halo 1 had co-op, didn't it?
Yes. Yep.
That was still, like, you know, well after Perfect Dark.
Yeah, because that was, what, like, 03 or something, or 02?
01 was the first Halo.
01 was it? Okay, I couldn't remember.
But, you know, even that was, you know, that was still several years ahead of, like, Gears of War or whatever, so that was pretty advanced.
Well, yeah, and, like, bots hardly show up in games anymore, but that was one thing that was kind of cool with Gears of War 2, is they brought bots back, so when you play, like, you can play multiplayer with bots if you want, instead of going online and playing with a bunch of jackasses, so...
Now, not everyone online is a jackass.
I know, they're not all, but it might not even be that they're jackasses, it's just that they play.
Not everyone online is a jackass, but all jackasses are online.
Yeah, it's just that most of the people who play those games online, they play the living shit out of them, and so it's just not even fun for somebody who just occasionally goes online to go out and play. I guess that's kind of my boat I'm in, so...
Well, that's what's fun about Horde mode, because you're like, it's teamwork.
Yeah, that's the nice part of that.
We gotta play Halo 3 one of these days. I actually messaged Funky Drums the other day. And we were going to play Gears, but I think his girlfriend was over or something. But
oh, okay.
That was fun playing Halo.
Yeah, those were the good times.
Yep.
Speaking of co-op.
Yeah, 4-player co-op.
Yeah.
Doesn't Resistance 2 have...
I think it's like 8-player, isn't it?
Damn.
And it actually has, like, a different campaign if you play it multiplayer compared to the single player, I guess. Like, it kind of complements... It's kind of like when you're going through the single player mode, from what I've read, you'll kind of hear about these other battles that are going on and stuff during that campaign. When mm-hmm. you play the 8, you know, multiplayer mode, it's you're actually doing those things that you hear about in the single player, which was kind of a neat idea, I thought.
Oh, they're really filling up that Blu-ray disc.
Yeah, at least somebody is. They talk about it enough, but most of the games, you know, don't go beyond what a DVD holds.
Of course, you know, the early CD-ROM games didn't pick up a CD-ROM either.
Yep.
So.
It's just kind of funny, though, you know, when you run into the PS3 fanboys and stuff, and they're all like, oh, Blu-rays can hold all this data! It's like, yeah, but they don't use it.
They talk exactly like that.
Pretty close, yeah. It's kind of sad.
Hmm. Yeah, that chair is kind of old.
It's seen better days.
It's 14.5 years old, actually.
Wow.
I bought it in Minnesota. The end.
Nice.
I think it was at a Target.
Wow, back before Targets were, like, cool.
Oh, hell, I got my first Speak and Spell at a Target. That was even farther before that.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was like 84. I think it was in Rockford, Illinois. Yes, it was in Rockford,
Damn.
Illinois. Yeah, it was weird. It was almost like more of a Sam's Club or a Costco at the time. I mean, that was... God, now you know, people are like, wow, he's old. okay, well, what are some other games that... I guess maybe not... You don't realize it at the time, but looking back.
I don't know. I guess, like, I didn't really play it much, but Grand Theft Auto 3 was obviously... It's definitely... change the way games have been made or whatever, I guess. Like, the sandbox genre that, you know, they call it now, that basically didn't even exist, really, when that came out. And
that's true.
Now there's, you know, all sorts of games that fall into that category, and you know, it's been hugely successful. It's sold tens of millions of copies over the last few games that have come out in the series. And just kind of the non-linear way of playing through the game, I guess. I mean, RPGs have kind of had that for a long time, but in a game like this, it was kind of a neat idea to be able to just say, I just want to drive around and run into crap or do whatever the hell I feel like, and I can go do this little side mission and not even have to worry about the main quest.
And there'll be multiple ways of doing the missions when you do them, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I think that one was... You know, there might have been some game that I don't know about that you know, was kind of in that category before Grand Theft Auto 3 came along, but that one's the one that obviously broke the mold or whatever.
Well, they had that driver game, but, you know, it wasn't as expansive.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of the whole open world concept, I guess. It's kind of neat, so...
I'm sure some hardcore people will be like, well, you didn't mention, like, Mule or a Commodore 64 game or something.
Yeah.
What about Ball Blazers? Remember those Lucasfilm games for the 8-bit computers, like Ball Blazers and Rescue on Fractalus?
Nope.
I thought you had an Atari when you were younger.
I did.
You did? And you didn't have Ball Blazers?
No. Nope. I had BC's Quest for Tires.
I should show you Ball Blazers after this podcast. I think you'd be impressed.
Yeah.
They had Ball Blazers, Corona's Rift, Rescue on Fractalus, and the Eldolon, and they're all 3D games on the Atari.
Nice.
And they looked good.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Those were very ahead of their times. I mean, not all those games were like the best. I mean, Rescue on Fractalus is pretty good. The other ones, well, I guess they're pretty good, but they had 3D graphics that were pretty cool.
Nice.
So if you've never tried that, maybe download it all and take a look.
What, you mean I can't go out to Best Buy and buy them?
Yes, you're like, yes, may I buy Ball Blazers?
The game probably existed before Best Buy existed. I don't know when Best Buy came into existence, but...
I should hook my Atari back up. It's sitting right there.
Collecting dust.
That computer is 29 years old.
Wow.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
It is. Okay, let's see. What other games were ahead of their time? What about, like, in the Super Nintendo era?
That's what I was trying to think of, if there's anything that stands out.
Maybe like Star Fox, that was pretty advanced in its day. It had 3D crap.
3D crap.
Or you had that Virtual Fighter game that was kind of cool. I mean, the game itself I didn't think was that great, but, you know, it was 3D.
Yeah. I don't know. I know games I liked back then, but I don't know if they were, like, you know, anything amazing. Because I was thinking of stuff like ActRaiser, which was kind of neat, because it kind of blended kind of SimCity-type stuff with, like, the side-scrolling action, which was kind of a neat idea. Nothing's really done that since that I'm aware of, but...
Never played that one. I know it was a big deal when it came out, though.
Yeah, I liked that one a lot. I wish they'd bring that out on, like, the Xbox Arcade or something. I'd be all over that. But...
What about Mario 64? Overrated, but, you know, it...
Yeah, it was kind of a pretty big deal, too.
I mean, there's actually a... Oh, there was actually a 3D platforming game called Jumping Flash on the PS1 before Super Mario 64, but it actually wasn't too bad, but, you know, it wasn't as good.
Yeah. Or as big of a deal.
Right. Well, gosh, I mean, what else was ahead of its time?
I'm sure there's plenty of stuff. We're just not thinking of it, but... Well, I remember when I played the first Gran Turismo... That game, like, totally shattered every barrier that existed for, like, a driving game. It was just absurd. You'd have... I can't remember how many cars the first one had, but I think it had, you know, close to 200 cars or something like that. And the driving physics and everything were actually pretty realistic. And you could, you know, customize your cars and, you know, buy upgrades for them and all that, and it was just, like, way beyond anything that had been in a driving game up to that point that wasn't on the computer or something, but I think it even surpassed what, like, computer driving games did up to that point. I just remember it was so funny, too, because I was, like, always into driving games and stuff, but I had no clue that game even existed. And then I wandered into Walmart one day, and it was sitting there, and I'm like, that looks interesting. I'll buy it. And then it wound up just being awesome, so...
Didn't they have a second one on the PlayStation 1? Like,
yeah, the first two were on PlayStation 1, and then 3 and 4 were on PlayStation 2. And then they've got that prologue thing, which doesn't really count on the
PS3.
Part
4 was the one that just took forever to come out, right?
Yeah, but it was friggin' awesome when it finally did. But yeah, that was the one that, yeah, I think it got delayed like a year and a half or 2 years almost by the time it finally came out, which is...
Because when did it come out? Like, it was like 2005, wasn't it?
It was pretty late, yeah. And, yeah, I'm sure the new one that they're making for the PS3 will probably get delayed every bit as much.
Well, they have, yeah, Gran Turismo 5, Prologue, Epilogue, Preface...
Which all it is basically a $40 demo... is what that game is. It's pretty pathetic. They charge that much for it, I think, because I played it one day, and it's... I love Gran Turismo, but I couldn't see playing that more than a couple hours. So, but yeah, that's one that definitely, I'd say, was ahead of its time.
Yes. What about Duke Nukem 3D?
Never played it, so I don't know.
I'm shocked. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think of other games that were ahead of their time, but it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Definitely Ball Blazers.
Snatcher. No.
Hey, there you go. Snatcher.
I don't know. Was it ahead of its time? It might have been on some level, I don't know. It was awesome, I know that much.
You should obviously hook up your Sega CD-ROM someday. Yeah, we hooked up the 3DO that one time, remember?
Yeah, so you could play your Hell game. Which was pretty terrible.
Did I buy that at the 2007 or 2008 Midwest Gaming Classic?
2007.
Oh yeah, that's right. Your balls are mine. You do not need them anymore. There it is, up on the shelf. Hell.
Yeah.
A cyberpunk thriller. That game sucked.
Yeah, it did. Thing was pathetic. I guess when you have Dennis Hopper in your game, you know, you can only expect so much.
Yeah. Well, I guess if we can't think of any more games that were ahead of their time, we'll just have to move on to our movie remake topic.
Yes, feel free to put forth your suggestions in the comments, because I'm sure all of you will have all sorts of ones that we managed to miss and don't feel slighted. Throw them out there. Because we, by no means, are capable of creating a comprehensive list, so...
As it would seem. Our list-making skills are quite pathetic.
Now, with movies, on the other hand... This should be interesting.
Okay, so I was reading Dark Horizons the other day. And
which, for those of you out there who don't know, is a site that's kind of dedicated to movie scuttlebutt and whatnot.
Right.
Insider shit.
Yeah, so, I mean, I kind of heard it rumbled. But yeah, they're talking about they're going ahead and writing a Romancing the Stone remake.
Ugh.
And... You know, as you know, we are children of the 80s, even though we weren't born in the 80s. But, you know, the 80s was kind of when we grew up. We have most of our conscious memories of growing up, except for high school, which was in the 90s.
Yes.
Anyway, I remember when Romancing the Stone, and I didn't see it in the theater, but back when it came out on tape, God, we watched that so freaking much. Like, me and my sister, like, that's all we would do, is just watch Romancing the Stone. And, you know, I mean... It's a good movie. I mean, it's not like the best movie ever.
No,
but
for what it is, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's just pure adventure, and
mm-hmm.
There's no way they can improve on it.
And it's not even that old of a movie, but also, it's a movie that everyone probably has seen and remembers.
Yeah.
But it's not like it's also like... It's hard to explain. It's not like making something like Star Trek, where you've got like this big, huge, rabid fan base. It's like, the people who remember the first movie are probably not going to give a shit about it. Just like they're not going to give a shit about the Footloose remake. Why? Or the Flashdance remake. Why?
God.
But let's talk about Romancing the Stone for a little while, because, you know, Romancing the Stone was a good movie, and it was Robert Zemeckis' like first... Was it the first movie he directed?
No, because he did Used Cars and...
Oh, yeah!
I think there might have even been something before Used Cars.
But it was back when he actually filmed real people using cameras.
Yes.
Yes.
It was like his first hit, I would say, because that came after Used Cars. And
Used Cars was successful, wasn't it?
It wasn't like a big deal, though. But
right. Then, of course, he went on to do Back to the Future, which I wouldn't be surprised if they remake that.
I'm sure they'll remake that someday. But yes, for those of you who haven't seen Used Cars, check it out. It's like, in my opinion, it's one of the funniest movies ever made. It's just goddamn hilarious. So.
And it's got Kurt Russell in it.
Yep.
It's awesome.
It's great R-rated comedy, and it's a nice hard R. It doesn't screw around, so.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about, we had a podcast once. Did we discuss it on the podcast? We discussed the political connection with movies by decade. We discussed that once, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Might have been in the last one, even.
Well, okay, well, we could tie that into Romance of the Stone as well. I mean, if they make one now, it's not going to be nearly as good as the original, because it's going to be completely neutered.
Well, and it won't be fun. It'll have to have, like, these serious, you know, elements
to it. Yeah, it'll be like Jason Bourne
shit.
Goes to Columbia.
Yeah. It'll suck.
And it'll have Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson, as sure as I'm sitting here.
I like McConaughey, but...
Didn't they already make that movie called Fool's Go, which is pretty much the same thing?
Pretty much the same thing, yeah.
Or it'll have, like, Kristen Stewart in it, probably, because apparently she has to be in every movie now.
Oh, she'll be the big thing now?
Yeah, you know, she'll be like a 19-year-old romance novelist. What? That sounds like something Hollywood would do.
Yeah.
Like, what do they have in Superman Returns, like the 24-year-old Pulitzer Prize-winning...
Baby mama,
or whatever the hell she was.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you. He'll probably. Maybe the alligator eats the diamond at the end.
Yeah.
And he chases it. But he won't kill the alligator and make it into Boots. He'll come into her apartment, and then Kate Hudson will be like, "Hi, honey!" You know, she won't have like that great, sexy voice that Kathleen Turner
yeah.
did. Like. She had, like, just one of the best voices.
Just nice and sultry.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, her voice was just sex.
Yeah.
But no, he didn't kill the alligator. It's his pet now. It'll, like, come crawling in behind him, and then she'll put her hands on her hips. She's like, and then she'll be like, ugh! And then she'll go up and she'll kiss him, and then she'll be like, do we have to keep the alligator? And then that'll be the end of it. You know, that's how it'll probably end.
That's how dumb it'll be, yeah.
No one will get shot. No one will lose any hands. There won't be any of that shit. It'll just be lame.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oh, no, we can't go down to Colombia and portray it as being a crime-filled jungle, you know, country full of drug runners.
We can't portray it as it is.
See, back in the 80s, they just didn't give a shit.
But,
but you know, remember the scene where they're in that crashed plane and
yeah.
they're burning the marijuana?
The weed, yeah.
That'll still be in there, but it'll be like a big kooky scene.
Yeah.
You know? Like in Lethal Weapon 4 where they had that laughing gas. It'll be a scene like that.
Yeah, see, that's one of the big problems with making a movie like this is there is nobody in Hollywood today who is even remotely the equivalent of Kathleen Turner. I would say if you gave her probably 7 or 8 years, Scarlett Johansson might be able to pull it off. But she's like the closest thing there is in Hollywood to that. And it's just like, nobody can fill that role. So why bother remaking it?
Oh, you know, they'll probably make it like Angelina Jolie or something. That could happen.
Oh, I'm sure. That wouldn't surprise me. It'll be her and Brad Pitt.
Oh,
That's probably what it'll fucking be, actually.
Ugh. Fucking Brad Pitt.
What a putz.
I've never liked Brad Pitt, really.
I haven't
that much.
Either. I never gave a shit about that guy.
Well, what about Fight Club? What did you think of that movie?
I think it's immensely overrated.
Oh, see, I always thought you...
No, Dale likes it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it was cool, but yeah, I would agree. I mean, what is the... I don't get it.
It's okay and all, but Fincher's made far better movies.
I liked Panic Room with that.
Panic Room's awesome.
What's your face? And there's a button or something.
Kristen Stewart was in that too.
Oh, was she like the girl?
She's the daughter. Yep. Yeah.
Well, obviously she should be in *Romancing the Stone* then.
Yeah, Panic Room kicked ass, and Seven kicked ass, Zodiac. All better movies made by the same director.
Was Alien 3 better than Fight Club?
I'd say so.
Oh yeah, it had Sigourney Weaver in it.
I actually enjoy that movie, so...
Fight Club was kind of... it was basically American Beauty with punching.
It was kind of a mess, too, I thought.
Did you see they had some sort of list where they rated, like... What's his name? Tyler Durden or whatever? They rated that the best movie character of all time.
What?
Some list did.
Was it on Ain't It Cool News?
No, it was actually some sort of publication.
Ugh. Lame. Whatever.
Yeah. But, you know, it was in that movie, it was kind of, you know, it was kind of like about, like, you know, younger people's kind of disenfranchisement with life. It was fairly similar to American Beauty. I mean, it wasn't as good.
Yeah.
But, what's kind of, you know, people, like, look at a movie like that, like, oh, wow, that movie, you know, it's kind of like The Big Lebowski. It's like, the movie came out, nobody gave a shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that what that says about it in the grand scheme of things, but...
Well, more people went to it than went to Big Lebowski, that's for sure. But Lebowski pisses on Fight Club.
So. Okay, yeah, so
Jeff
back to
Bridges.
Remakes. Yeah, here, you know what movie they should remake? Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Yeah. Take a second pass at that thing. I'm sure Spielberg's got some different ideas.
I'm sorry, what were you going to say before that?
I was just going to say, they could... Another one I could see them remaking is, like, Body Heat at some point.
I'm not familiar with that movie.
You've never seen Body Heat?
It does got Kathleen Turner in it, too, doesn't it?
Her and Slick Willie Hurt. And a young Mickey Rourke, I believe, too. That's a hell of a movie. It's by Lawrence Kasdan.
And, that's probably maybe a little more obscure. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hell of a movie, and I wouldn't want to see them remake it, but I could see them doing it, because, again, it'd be like, oh, let's put Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie in this or something, you know, and I could see them doing it.
Why don't they make Mr. and Mrs. Smith Go to Washington?
That would make too much sense.
That would be a great title.
It's like, wow, it would be a sequel to a movie that was successful.
And it has a clever title.
Yes. I mean, it's like, I don't know why they haven't made a sequel to that. They make a sequel to every other goddamn thing that comes out.
Probably because it'd be too expensive to hire them both.
That could be.
Because
you'd
know,
think they could get a package discount on it or something. It's like, hey, you guys get to be together for, like, 6 months filming this, you know?
Maybe they'd hate each other then, and then, you know, What's-Her-Face could take Brad back. Friends woman.
Friends woman.
Well, why don't we talk about, like, some movies? I mean, yeah, well, first of all, before we get on to that, yeah, so... They're talking about, like, quite a few movies from the 80s are, like, in the process of going to be remade, like Weird Science, RoboCop, they're making Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Yeah.
What else was there?
Yeah, RoboCop is just weird as shit, because last I heard Darren Aronofsky was attached to that thing,
yep.
And he's the guy who did, like, Requiem for a Dream and The Fountain and Pi. I'm like, RoboCop? Just seems like an odd thing, but I mean, it could be kind of like Christopher Nolan taking over Batman, and maybe he'll do something interesting with it. Because originally Aronofsky was attached to rebooting Batman for quite a while, back when they were trying to decide which direction they wanted to go. There was like the whole Batman Year One thing.
And, oh, yeah, and then they were going to do Batman versus Superman at one point.
Yeah, and Aronofsky was working on the Batman Year One stuff. But, so maybe that's where the idea for him to do RoboCop came from. I don't know. But I guess that's a movie that wouldn't be that bad to remake, because I didn't think it was really all that good in the first place, but...
I wouldn't be surprised if they remake Animal House one of these days.
Oh, God. Haven't they already done that with, like, all these obnoxious, like, what is it, Van Wilder and, there was, like, Van Wilder Taj's Great Escape or whatever the hell that thing was. Rise of Taj.
But they weren't called Animal House.
That's true.
Well, I mean, one movie that... I talked about this earlier. Westworld. Yeah, they talked about remaking. See, I could see that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you haven't seen it or read the book, it was actually a... Michael Crichton book, and he actually directed the movie too back in the 70s. And see if this sounds familiar. It's like a vacation destination where a bunch of robots are set up, and you go there and you kind of experience these eras. And one of them is Westworld, which is like an old West town, and it's filled with these robots who look human, of course, and they reenact gunfights, and then you can shoot the robots, and they die, and then you get to feel like you're in the Old West, and Yul Brynner's like the main bad cowboy robot. Anyway, the robots, of course, go haywire and start killing people, and then the people have to escape.
Good times.
Michael Crichton has gone to that well several times, but, you know, I could see that being remade. I mean, that's not so bad. It's kind of an obscure movie.
Yeah. I mean, that one would make sense. You know, it's like when they remade Ocean's 11. You know, it's like, okay, that makes sense, because barely anybody even knew that it existed before the remake happened, and the original one is not very good at all. I watched it one time, and it was pretty terrible. But, you know, I mean, every now and then they'll get it right, and they'll pick some movie like that to remake, but then every now and then they'll be like, oh, let's remake The Manchurian Candidate, and it's like, why?
Little Shop of Horrors was a remake, wasn't it?
I think so.
Because it was a Roger Corman film, then it was a Broadway play, and then it was a Frank Oz movie.
But it's, I don't know, there's probably other stuff out there that...
I'm surprised they're not dipping into the Broadway and musical realm. I mean, after Mamma Mia made ungodly amounts of money.
Well, I'm
money,
sure,
money, money.
I'm sure that Wicked play will get turned into a movie at some point. The one that's about the Wicked Witch.
Hey, it's more original. You know, making a movie where a bunch of people are getting married and, like, singing ABBA songs, it's more original than remaking, like, Back to the Future.
Yeah, definitely. I mean... I enjoyed it, so...
They're talking about making a sequel to it.
Yeah, well, that's not surprising. It was, like, ridiculously successful beyond anybody's dreams, I think, so...
Oh, there's more ABBA songs, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that made money.
No.
It was a movie filled with ABBA songs. It's like printing money.
And it was just a good, you know, fun movie that didn't take itself seriously. And I think a lot of people are looking for that. And it's kind of a hard thing to find when you go to the theater.
Yeah, all these movies are always like Jason Bourne and torture and the Joker cutting people with knives or wanting to. And yeah. Well, the other problem is... All these movies that they do remake or reboot, they're all going to have the Batman Begins treatment. They're all going to be really dark and whatnot. And that was one thing about the 80s. I mean, usually the movies kind of had a sense of fun to them.
Yeah.
They didn't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing that anytime soon. I don't know.
I love that part in Romancing the Stone when she throws a knife at the guy and he lifts up that board and catches it.
Yeah.
That was great.
On the part where they go down the hill in the mudslide and Douglas ends up face first in her crotch.
Oh, yeah.
And then he just like, looks up and he's like, ha ha ha.
He's like, welcome to Columbia.
Yeah.
Oh, then he chops up her shoes.
Yeah, chops the heels off them and stuff. Yeah.
And she's like, these are Italian. And he's like, now they're practical.
Yeah.
See, what they need, instead of like getting, McConaughey is cool, but they need someone who's like more rough.
Yeah.
You know? I don't... Gosh.
Yeah, I don't...
Really almost know. Like a younger Hugh Jackman. I mean, that would work. I think he's maybe... Well, he's... No.
Hugh could pull it
off. Yeah, that's...
Just give him some straggly hair.
Maybe he get... What's his name in Australia? He's like the Dowser or the... He's got some... Oh, the Drover. Apparently he's a Drover, whatever that is.
Hmm.
I'm sure there's people in Australia, you know, because we probably have a lot of listeners in Australia, like... God damn it, he doesn't know what a drover is. And he had that fake shitty accent and pulls him his friend. To which I respond, I know.
They're like, what an ass.
That Australia movie didn't really do what they wanted, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that's not really surprising. I didn't really expect it to do much, and it didn't.
You know, the advertisements, you really couldn't tell who was in it at all.
Yeah.
The TV ads. I mean, you couldn't... Like, Naomi Watts is in that movie, right?
No, it's like Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman.
Oh, I thought Naomi Watts was in it too.
No, I think it's just the two of them. They're like the only big names in it.
Someone needs to frickin' stop giving Nicole Kidman money. I mean, seriously, her movies don't do jack shit.
No.
It's like, oh, let's remake Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like the perennially. What's that song that's always remade? Oh, fuck. It's like about friendship or something, and every group does a cover of it.
Why can't we be friends?
No.
But yeah, God, probably the last...
I was just going to say Invasion of the Body Snatchers gets remade every 5 years. And
the last like commercially successful movie she was in was probably Moulin Rouge.
That wasn't even really that successful.
It was successful, though. It made money.
Well, more than her recent movies, but I mean...
No, I mean, it made money. You know, it wasn't like Bewitched where it, you know, tanked.
Oh, God.
And stuff like that.
That fucking movie. What about Bewitched Housewives?
Ugh. God. Let's see. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
What, if Nicole Kidman movies that were successful?
Yeah. I think The Hours did okay, but that one wasn't like a big hit or anything. But I don't think it was like a commercial disaster, although it should have been, because it was a pretty shitty movie.
I mean, has
movie.
She ever really had a movie where, you know, she was a star and it was, like, really successful?
I don't think so.
What was that? The Stepford Wives, that bombed.
Yeah.
God, what else? Yeah, I mean, pretty much everything... Actually, has she ever really been in a successful movie at all? I mean, Days of Thunder bombed, Far and Away bombed.
Yeah.
Batman Forever she was in, but that doesn't really count.
That did pretty well.
Think about it, I mean...
And Moulin Rouge did well.
Okay, that's two.
Eyes Wide Shut broke even.
See?
Cold Mountain, I can't remember if Cold Mountain did all right or not.
I think it did okay.
Yeah.
But she really didn't do anything in that movie either. Didn't she, like, have to eat a chicken or something in that movie?
I think so. And had to put up with spunky Renee Zellweger.
Now, Renee Zellweger is obviously far more popular, talented, and successful than Nicole Kidman, but I'm sure she doesn't get paid as much. Yeah, why do they...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I like her and all that, but yeah, her movies don't make money.
Actually, I think, I don't know if it was Entertainment Weekly Online or something, but they had like a list of top 10 overpaid actors, and actually I think
she was
number one.
On that, I know.
I think they mentioned Jim Carrey. I'm sure that Yes Man movie will make money, but...
Ugh.
See, it doesn't... Okay, just like you say with Brad Pitt, I've never liked Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Some of his movies I've been able to tolerate, but I don't know, he's just...
I used to not mind him, but he just... He grates on you after a while because he's always just doing this mugging shit for the camera. Like, that's all he can do.
Or like you see it in the ads for Yes Man. I can't remember. Somebody says something like I think he's gonna he's got a Bugatti car or motorcycle or something, and he's like Bugatti. Like says
oh,
it stupidly.
Yeah,
it's
does
like
that shit
wow,
too.
You've really evolved over the years, Jim Carrey.
Well, I suppose to his defense, you know, he has gone out and tried to spread his wings and then...
And he's been a lot more successful than Nicole Kidman.
And, yeah, but I mean, he goes out, you know, and he makes, like, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and Truman Show and things like that, but then all people seem to want to see is, you know, shit like Yes Man, you know. It's like he can always fall back on, oh, I can, you know, go and get paid $15, $20 million and I just have to be an idiot.
He doesn't seem to want to do sequels, though. I mean, there's all this Jim Carrey-less sequels.
Yeah.
I mean, if any of those movies, if they had him, they would have made money.
Yeah,
like, look at Ace Ventura 2, it was really successful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. God, yeah, Ace Ventura 2 is probably the only time he did a sequel. I wonder if he had, like, a really bad experience making that, and so that's why he doesn't do them.
Maybe he was contracted or something.
Because it'd be, like, free money for him to...
Aren't they making another, like, Ace Ventura, and it's, like, his son
like
or something?
It's, like, a kid or something, yeah.
See, I wonder if that'll be successful or not.
It's like, wow, we made, you know, a Dumb and Dumberer. We had Son of the Mask.
There's another one too, wasn't
there? Evan Almighty was another one because Bruce Almighty originally. Sadly, Evan Almighty was the most successful of them, and it did not make money either. But
I think it did a lot better than those other ones you mentioned.
Yeah, it did. It made $100 million, but it cost like $170 million. So, but Son of the Mask, didn't that cost like $85-90 million?
I think that was over $100 million or something. I mean, it was ridiculous, really expensive,
and it made like $5 million or something. It's pretty bad.
It was really bad. It's like, yes, let's spend $100 million in a movie that stars Jamie Kennedy. This is a great
brilliant
idea.
Brilliant. Yeah, at least Dumb and Dumber, I don't think they spent a lot on that. So actually, that's probably the most successful of them, because, you know, they probably spent like $25 million on it, and it, you know, made $15
only
or
lost
something.
Yeah, so... yeah. Okay, how about this? What movies, if they got remade, would you just swear off watching movies altogether, or throw snowballs at Hollywood?
Well, number one would be Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
You know who would make that, remake that if anyone did?
Michael Bay.
Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, well, yeah, it's his favorite movie ever, just like mine.
Maybe he wouldn't do it then.
Yeah, I think he has the good sense not to. But, yeah, I would just say fuck off if they did that. Because, ugh.
Do you think they'll make... I know that, well, they've already done versions of them. They've already done versions. Like the Sword and Sandal movies, such as like Ben-Hur or Ten Commandments?
I don't know. You'd think if they were going to make them, they would have done it after Passion of the Christ was so successful.
I keep saying this, but Ten Commandments remake would make a shitload of money.
Oh, yeah, it would.
I wouldn't, you know, Ten Commandments is one of my favorite movies, but I wouldn't have any problem with it. I mean, I know they had that Prince of Egypt movie, but that doesn't really count.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fine if they remade that, if they, you know, did it right. It could be interesting. I'm actually surprised they, well, I suppose maybe he wouldn't fly in this day and age, but I'm surprised they haven't tried to remake Dirty Harry or something like that, which would piss me off as well. Because Clint will talk about how, like, every year or two they'll come to him and be like, hey, you want to make another Dirty Harry? And he's like, I'm like 76, 7, well, now he's like 78 years old. You know, he's like, what the hell are they going to show me doing, sitting out on a dock somewhere fishing?
Maybe you know? The movie executives come up to him and he's like, get off my lawn.
Pretty much. But it's just funny. I love the fact that Clint is, you know, completely comfortable with the fact that he's getting old, and he's just like, what
well,
the
seen
hell?
That,
like Space Cowboys, you know, it like, showed that. And
the trailer for Gran Torino deals with that, too.
Yeah.
I do want to see that movie.
It'll be cool.
Clint says, get off my lawn to a bunch of kids while pointing a gun at them. I mean, what more could you want in a movie? I was going to say, it's not a remake, but again, I continue to be completely dumbfounded as to why Hollywood has not made a Gilligan's Island movie.
Yeah, it's true. They keep mining all these other TV shows. Why not that one? Especially with Lost being successful. I mean,
oh, here's a plot. This is so easy.
Know.
Instead of a 3-hour tour, it's a reality TV show in the movie, but then they get lost there. They get stuck there. That's how you get them on the island. It's so easy. I cannot believe they have not done it.
Yeah, I know. And then it sets it up for sequels, you know, if it's successful. So.
Yeah, if they get off the island and they go back. Maybe Lost being successful. You know, there's already like an island show, but, you know, I mean,
that hasn't stopped them before.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I'm surprised, you know, back in the 90s when they're making like Flintstones and Adam's Family and all that, I'm surprised it didn't happen back then.
Yeah.
Because it'd probably be like Adam Sandler as Gilligan.
Yeah.
And he'd be out in the jungle, and a coconut would hit him in the head, and he'd be like, ow! And you look up at a tree, there'd be a monkey, he'd be like, you stupid monkey! And then the monkey would keep throwing coconuts at him, and he'd be like, stop throwing coconuts at me, monkey! I'm looking for food!
There
and he looks
is.
Down, and there's like a big pile of coconuts. Food!
There it is, Hollywood screenwriting.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot believe that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, especially like a few years ago, even when they were just suddenly, you know, making all these movies based off TV shows and stuff, would have seemed like an ideal time to do such a thing. But
let's see, remakes where I would just draw the line.
I
I think there's some stuff that no one in Hollywood would even touch.
Yeah.
You know, like Gone with the Wind, Casablanca, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd ever touch stuff like that. Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, God, yeah, that'd be another one. There's no way they could even do that today is the thing. I mean, even with CG, that movie would be so ridiculously expensive.
But they did it, you know, 50 years ago almost.
For real.
But this time, the camels are real.
That movie's just so awesome.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
What about Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I don't think Hollywood would remake that one. I think. And Spielberg and Lucas are too powerful.
As long as Spielberg's alive.
Yeah. As soon as he's dead, you know, they'll obviously go to that well. But honestly, you know, maybe not like making an Indiana Jones movie, but it's too bad. Tomb Raider is a perfect example. All they would have had to do with Tomb Raider is make Indiana Jones with
a
chick.
Woman. Yeah, it was not hard.
It's not rocket science, but they couldn't even pull that off, and it sucked balls.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just saying, that's why Mummy was so successful. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. Yeah. I mean, Mummy wasn't that great of a movie, but it was a hell of a lot better than the first Tomb Raider movie or the second one.
It was fun.
And it was fun, and it was kind of a Indiana Jones kind of movie, you know?
Yeah.
And that, people ate it up.
Probably would help that, too, is that, like Indiana Jones, it was set in a particular period of time, you know, like in the past.
Yeah, it kind of gives it kind of a romantic
kind
of feel. I mean that in the literature term.
Where, like, Tomb Raider, you know, is just kind of
modern
times
day.
Or whatever, which isn't as interesting. So, I don't know.
Well, it's more fun because when you can put something in the past and he's fighting Nazis or whatever, or you're fighting mummies and you've got all these, you know, British encampments in Egypt or whatever, it's more fun because you kind of have heard about this period in time, and it's kind of cool to see these characters running around in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this before when we talk about how there's too many Iraq war movies. I mean, making stuff now, you really can't see the context. I mean, maybe like 30 years from now, if someone made a movie about the Iraq war... Part 2, maybe it would make more sense. Well, I could see that Three Kings movie was like that, remember?
Yeah.
Of course, that wasn't really a fun romp.
It had its moments. It kind of started fun, and then it became serious about midway through or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that one, it, you know, God, when did that come out? Like 99 or 2000 or something? So yeah, it was like 8 years, you know, after the Gulf War and all that, and so it, you know, there was a bit of time there. And, yeah, I think that helps a lot, especially when you're dealing with things that are in a historical context or whatever.
But even though it took place in modern day, I mean, Tomb Raider, it still didn't have to suck.
No.
But it had the whole thing where, you know, you can't shoot people in movies anymore, apparently. So she's shooting, like, stone golems and statues, and it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because I remember when that movie was coming out, I was kind of excited about it, because I'm like, well, shit. This is going to be cool because it's such a no-brainer. It's like all they have to do is Indiana Jones
and it was
with
before
Angelina
people were
Jolie.
Tired of Angelina Jolie, at least before I was.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, okay, this is going to be cool. And then I saw it, and I'm like, this is goddamn terrible. It just sucked. And I'm just like, how can they screw this up? I mean, it was the biggest, well, not the biggest slam dunk, but it was a pretty straightforward thing.
The opening scene where she's doing all that stuff to get, like, that crystal or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just a training exercise with the robot. It's that's bullshit.
It's like, ugh.
And then what is it, like, the crystal, it's a memory stick that she sticks into her robot to listen to music.
Yeah, it's lame.
It's just stupid.
So there you go, remake Tomb Raider.
Yeah. Reboot that franchise.
Yeah.
Just
like what were you saying? They want to reboot Planet of the Apes, even though they just remade it like eight years ago and it was
very
successful.
That was on The Office as Karen. Remember her? She'd
Rashida
be a good
Jones.
Tomb Raider.
Yeah, she could do it. Quincy Jones's daughter.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's really weird. It's basically a remake of Planet of the Apes 4, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
It, I think, takes place in modern times, and it's about a test ape becoming smart and, like, trying to overthrow humanity. So I don't know what the hell it has to do with Planet of the Apes, but... Yeah. thing is, you get these douchebags like Marky Mark or whoever. They just cannot compare to like Charlton Heston saying, no. "You blew it up, you damn apes."
Yeah, don't have anybody like Chuck or Clint, you know, or Paul Newman or any of those guys.
You know, to 66% of those people you named are dead.
Yes, I know. One of them will live forever, though.
I don't know.
But it's like, you know, there's nobody out there. I mean, I like Tom Cruise, and I guess Will Smith's cool and all that, but none of those guys hold a candle to any of the people I just mentioned, so I don't know. That's why movies will just continue to get worse as time goes on, I think.
What's another no-brainer movie they'll probably screw up? Well, Castlevania, that's one.
Yeah, that'd be pretty... Well, yeah, like Van Helsing, even. That shouldn't have been hard.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, but they made it into a complete disaster.
Castlevania, you just take Blade and mix it with Bram Stoker's Dracula, bam. But no.
No.
Yeah, Van Helsing, I mean, Van Helsing should have been awesome. I mean, and again, it was from the director of The Mummy, but, you know, he had too much money and too many mansions, and...
Yeah. Ugh.
Helsing.
Well, that was the problem, because he'd made Mummy Returns, which wasn't very good either, but it made a bunch of money.
Yep.
And so then that
fed into Van Helsing. And now we got G.I. Joe coming out, which... Ugh.
Oh, yeah. God, I forgot that was even being made.
Oh, yes.
Oh, here's Stephen a remake Summers. Need to do He-Man.
They've been talking about it.
That's one that deserves a remake, because the original movie sucks.
Oh, that's right! Wasn't that with Dolph Lundgren?
Or? Yeah.
Oh, well,
they brought him into like modern times.
Yeah,
and all
that's
this
right.
Shit.
Probably because
stupid.
It was cheaper than making a fantasy world.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was dumb. Maybe they just seen Star Trek 4 and thought it was a good idea.
Yes.
Wasn't Skeletor just had kind of like a Halloween mask on?
Kind of. I think like Frank Langella played him or something like that. But yeah, there's one that I would be a big advocate of a remake for, because they could obviously do it way better than they did before.
Oh, and they're remaking Short Circuit as well.
I guess that's not surprising.
Yeah, I know. You've had a lot of big hit robot movies lately.
In light
lately.
Of Wall-E.
And Transformers and Iron Man. And
yeah.
They should remake Transformers as well. They should redo the whole thing except for Megan Fox. And
hey, that Australian chick was pretty hot. I liked her better than Megan Fox.
She was kind of skinny.
Well, she could have eaten some sandwiches, I'll agree. But
I mean, granted, compared to Keira Knightley, she was a freaking whale. Keira Knightley is my new favorite celebrity to make fun of.
All she has to do to make it stop is eat.
Keira Knightley, eat 5 sandwiches, or otherwise I'm going to keep talking about you badly. She could totally be the next Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
I don't know if she'd be the greatest actress ever like Sigourney Weaver, but
she could kick ass, though. Just needs some meat on her bones.
Yep. Maybe she could be in Romancing the Stone. So who do you think they'll get to be the Danny DeVito? Danny DeVito character?
Like, Seth Rogen?
Oh, God. Yeah, no, he'll be in it as a pothead or something. Or
well, yeah, but I mean, the Danny DeVito character will, you know, probably be a pothead or something. You know, they'll have
that's right, because smoking pot in movies is okay, but smoking cigarettes, which are legal, is not.
Yes,
you remember that
makes perfect sense.
No, how about Jason Alexander?
That'd be nice for him to get some work, I guess. So. That'd be fine. Then
yeah.
Ira, the sleazy brother. That dude was so great.
Who was the one guy that had, like, the Xerox machine, the drug lord guy, you remember? He's like, you're Wilder?
The guy with the little mule?
Yeah, he was cool.
That was Alfonso Arau is his name, I believe.
That'll probably be, like, Danny Trejo in the remake.
Because he was in Used Cars also.
Oh.
Because he was the guy that they go and buy, like, the 250 cars from.
Oh, yeah.
He's like out there grabbing his crotch and shit.
Yeah, don't
like,
they say, you painted these with water-based paint? He's like, it doesn't rain here.
Yeah, he's like, oh, sure, we don't get much rain around here. That dude's just awesome.
Hey, what about Roadhouse? Maybe they'll remake that.
And Jason Statham could be in it.
Yeah, so he'd be like, oh, I'm Jason Statham, and this is my Roadhouse, because I'm on a death race. to transport things to the bank job
through time. So.
So that's why we need to make an action movie. We need to show Hollywood how it's done. Because
Or truck battle. I guess it wasn't really a chase, but that's just a start, though.
Yeah, well, you know what we really needed? What should have happened is the possum should have thrown me off the back of the truck, and then it's like, you know, trying to get Mary. But then I come swinging on vines to catch up to the truck. I think that probably would have gone over better.
And then at the end, you know, you can't actually kill the possum, though, either. You know, you just have to...
Well, the possum would, like, look at an alien and
ledge or something.
And get too much knowledge, and its head would explode.
Would it go to the space between spaces?
It seems that the greatest treasure was knowledge. See, that was the thing I liked about National Treasure. At the end, yes. Nicolas Cage and Diane Kruger, they got the fucking treasure. You know,
there was a great movie that pisses on, like, the new Indiana Jones.
Oh, clearly.
National Treasure was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
it was just a great, fun, entertaining movie.
And it was really successful.
It's amazing how hard it apparently is to make just a fun, entertaining movie, because it doesn't happen very often.
See, that's why, you're probably not going to agree with this, but that's why I kind of like Sahara. It was just stupid and fun.
It just wasn't good. I don't know, I just wasn't even entertained by
it. I mean, I don't ever need to see it again, but I don't know. I just, like, some parts of it were just so ridiculous, I enjoyed it. And it had sand. I don't know.
That's true.
And Goat Woman.
Yep. And McConaughey. Who was the other guy? Oh, Steve Zahn was in it.
And William F. Macy was in it, too, remember?
Was he?
I think so.
Well, good for him.
Well, look at, like, Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, I wasn't a big fan, but it was kind of basically just a fun movie, and
yeah.
It had violence and whatnot, and it was actually kind of dark, and people loved it.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science.
But yes. Apparently it is.
Okay, well, we've gone over, but, we certainly had no trouble talking about movie remakes.
Yes.
What movies do you think should be or could be remade, and what ones do you think would be terrible if they remade? Discuss in the comments below. All right, well, I don't know. Would it be the Christmas special next time we come back already?
I guess so.
Would it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Christmas is like 2 weeks away. I should shop.
It's overrated.
Yes. Well, I guess I've got to get the Christmas special intro done. So I guess we'll see you next time for the Christmas special.
Yes. Happy trails.
Thank you, kind sir.